It's 29. It's the correspondence special, the correspondence dinner, etc.
Yes, 29 is also my age. So this is and I'm trying to meet more people, new people. So this is perfect.
Phil is 29. I'm 28.
Yes. Yes, I'm very much the father figure.
Yeah.
Of this podcast.
Daddy Phil.
I was setting Pierre straight.
I wish I didn't have to mow Phil's lawn so much.
It's the only way you'll learn the value of a dollar. The value of a dollar. You're going to learn the value of a dollar.
A lot of characters in a lot of books and films seem obsessed with the value of a dollar. Which I guess made more sense in the 50s when all that shit was written, when a dollar was like, hey, that's, you know.
That's a lot of money.
It's like saying, you need to learn the value of a tenner. You're like, yeah, I get it. That's a tenner. Sure, I can figure that out. Glenn Moore, friend of the podcast, had a very good joke about see a penny and pick it up, and all day long you'll have good luck.
Yeah.
His joke was like, well, yeah, of course. Because when that phrase, like, all those phrases are like 500 years old. So when someone first said that, a penny.
That was the good luck.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, uh-huh.
Pick up a penny and all the day, you'll be quite wealthy.
His punchline was something like, that's like saying, buy a house, and all day long you'll buy a house. Something like that.
I typed in pound into Google.
Oh, yeah?
To see what the effect of all of yesterday's parliament shenanigans were on our currency.
Oh, yeah?
And I discovered there are a lot more countries that have a currency called the pound than I thought.
Yes.
There's this Syria.
Syrian pound.
Syrian
yeah.
pound.
Yeah.
I think either Lebanon or Liberia.
The
maybe it's Lebanese.
Ireland used to.
Ireland.
Ireland. It was like pund.
Uh-huh.
With a U, I think, or something like that.
South Sudan. I think South Sudanese. There's a South Sudanese pound.
Oh, interesting. They went for that.
South Sudanese.
And it's Kenyan.
Egyptian? Is it, this a,
Egyptian
this
pound? And yeah. In Kenya, it's Kenyan shillings, I think.
Oh.
I think it's something like that.
That's one. African countries do have cool, old-fashioned sounding coins and shit.
Yeah, they
like
do.
Like doubloons and shillings. It's proper piratey, don't they?
What is the currency of Nigeria? Is it the Niger? The dollar? Nigerian dollar?
The Niger?
I think it's Nigerian dollars. No, it's the Naira. Niger is like the nickname for Nigerian or Nigerian things. It's the Naira.
The Naira.
Ooh. Let's see if you can guess some currencies, Phil. This is a great game. what is it?
I think there is a game to guessing the three-letter abbreviations and finding...
Oh, that's true. Ooh, what is it in Turkey?
What is the currency in Turkey?
Mm.
It's like a Turkish lira?
Lira, yeah.
Yes!
But it used
Suck
to...
it! Suck it, Pierre!
But it used to be... well, lira was what Italians used to have as well.
Mm, it's what the Romans used?
I don't know. I'm just wondering...
I feel like in Rome Total War you used liras. Or like in Rome 3 that you paid in liras.
I'm just wondering how the Turks...
That's, of course, where the pound sign comes from.
How the Turks got lira.
You know that's the British pound sign? There's L for lira.
No.
Yeah.
You're telling me a joke.
Yeah, there's a pound, there's an L.
But they've put a line through.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Okay.
Okay. It's going to be like that, is it?
Angola.
Angola. Is it their own word or is it one that...
It's a word that you have heard before, but you absolutely do not associate with currency.
Okay.
I can tell you that.
Okay.
It's quite odd.
The Angola irony.
It's the Angolan Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa?
Yeah.
Which is the celebration that...
But like the Americans made Kwanzaa up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made up...
I wonder which came first, the Angolan Kwanzaa or the American Kwanzaa?
Hmm.
How odd. Aruba uses the Aruban florin.
Lovely.
Like it's fucking 1600s. Wowee.
Aruba.
Aruba, Jamaica, would you like some florins? What do they use in Jamaica?
The Jamaican patois.
The ting.
The Jamaican patois. This will be three patois or
patois.
One patoi.
What do they use? Where is it?
The Jamaican pound. The Jamaican dollar. Kronas. The Jamaican krona?
Jamaican dollar. Oh.
Is it?
Mm. Yeah. Nah. I thought that Corona would require some explanation. Thank you. Wow, how weird. Yeah, all the sort of old Dutch Caribbean islands have fucking weird. South Sudanese pound? Yeah, you're right. And the Sudanese pound.
Mm.
My word.
Anyway, this is not what we brought to you.
No, this is not correspondence. This is currency.
This is correspondence.
Ugandan shilling. Anyway.
Just one more.
Just one, as it caught my eye. Yeah,
that's quite Alan Partridge.
Ugandan shilling. Anyway. Kieran gets in touch. Hello from Morocco.
Kieran on and off again.
Ooh,
Kieran
nice.
And off again.
Greetings, poo professors. I'm enjoying the latest bud pod from the Atlas Mountains in Morocco.
Wow.
And after a brush with the most bum-bum of all beetles, the bedbugs,
oh,
I thought I'd share my most libertarian and authoritarian ideas.
Probably go in your bum-bum.
Mm. Make a little nest. Most authoritarian, all zoos should be banned because of the obvious cruelty, he says.
I think we've had this before, this particular authoritarian wish.
I think so.
But I don't know if I agree
don't think
with it.
I don't think it's that cruel.
If it's not that, what is?
It depends on the animal. If you say like, here in Dubai we have an unrefrigerated, exposed piece of rock and we've put a polar bear on it. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Absolutely.
I once in deepest darkest Borneo, we went to this sort of kind of farm, and in order to attract tourists, they had one crocodile. But it was just in a concrete pit that was just big enough for it to just sit in.
They
just poke it with sticks. And you go, look, we got a crocodile.
A bad
that,
zoo.
That I'm very up for making illegal.
Yeah.
But like a nice high quality zoo.
Yeah.
I think it's important for urban people to see what animals look like. I mean, that sounds lame, but I believe it.
I think it is important, and also like if you go to the zoo and you actually see orangutans, you might give a shit that they don't have anywhere to live, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. No, you need them for education purposes, I think, but they do have to be higher quality than they are. I mean, this guy's emailing from Morocco. Fuck knows what kind of harrowing nonsense.
Oh dude, I was in Morocco. I was in Marrakesh in the big square. What do they call it? The
Morocco Square.
I don't know. But there's, and you just kind of set up your stall. You can sell things. But one guy just had like a bunch of little animals that he trapped. And he was just sort of poking them with a stick and just smiling at people, wanting them to give him money. Just, eh? Look at this. And just poke a badger in the eye or something. Ow. Like there's a snake. He just whack on the head. And, huh? What do you think? And they'd just be crawling around on the floor around him, just like, kill us. So I'm not surprised if you're in Morocco that you might have that urge.
Yeah, that's fair. And then the other thing he says, which I think we've also discussed before, weirdly, is we should allow dueling.
Yes, I'm up for bringing dueling back. If both parties consent and both are of sound mind, I think that is fair enough.
And they do it in some safe area.
As a child, I found it so frustrating that fighting was illegal.
Yeah.
Like, people wanted to settle something with a fight. And I don't think I was that violent a child. But I thought, what if you've both agreed, what business is it of anyone else's? We're not hurting anyone else.
What that's very what business is it of this of the nanny state?
Ugh, trying to get away. Pull out punches.
Friend of the podcast, Chris Betts.
Christopher Betts.
Great joke about fighting.
Yeah.
He says fighting for him is like physics. He doesn't understand it, but he does respect its ability to solve problems.
That's good.
Great line. We had a lovely email from B, who says that she's an Edinburgh based. I think it's a she. I don't know if it is, to be honest.
How do you spell B?
B is in Buzz Buzz.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, they are an Edinburgh based podbud, and just wanted to say they enjoyed your imitation of Scotland music.
Free.
Yeah. No, perfect. She says. They say. Everyone. And can also 100% relate to the Nightmare of the Fringe because they are a stage manager and also the hot, muggy fog that Edinburgh has where it's like foggy hot as well. And they say they love my show and we're trying to get... we're about to see your show, Phil. And when they picked up their tickets, the lady on the box office congratulated her for managing to get some.
Wow. How about that?
You've got box office cred. Literally. Wow.
Well... I should have got a bigger room. I'm sorry.
No, now you could be a Johnny sellout. Okay, so
well, if
this
it isn't Little Johnny Sellout. Hmm?
Well, if it isn't Johnny Sellout and the No Tickets Gang. That's a fun thing to do. I
and
do it to
sidekick Mr. Standing Room Only.
I do, yeah, I do it to Glenn when I see him,
mm-hmm.
In whatever the context is. Yeah. Like if I walked into the room and he was having a cup of tea. Well, if it isn't Cup of Tea Johnson and the Hot Drinks Gang. Just a bit fun.
That is fun. I'm gonna try to
Ellie gets in touch.
Ellie, not so smelly.
Well.
Well, yes.
Hold your horses.
Well, she might be. Oh. She's listening to this podcast.
Yeah, smelly this fans. Podcast, sorry. Famously smelly fans we have. oh, hang on. This. Say something.
Hello.
Yeah, you're a bit quiet. Hang on. Sorry, Podbuds. Phil's been a little quiet up till now. I'll make a note of that.
I'm just shy.
Okay.
Better?
Yes.
Okay.
Ellie gets in touch.
Ellie will be smelly.
Dear number Wang and number twos.
Nice. Very I mean, nice. Yours doesn't really.
Makes me a poo.
Okay.
I guess. I'll skip the formalities as this is going to be a long one.
Okay.
That's what I. That's what.
That's how you like our poos.
So you say to the toilet attendant. Look, sir, I'm going to skip the formalities. I'm going to be in here for quite some time.
Ellie's really going to coil this one out.
Oh, God. It's going to be a long one, but feel free to insert any compliments you wish I'd written here.
Nice socks,
nice
Phil.
Those are nice socks.
Thank you.
I would like... good, nice calves.
Yeah, Pierre's got his legs out.
Sure do.
For the lads.
Couple of pins. It has been difficult deciding which of my top three poo stories to share with you, but I've finally chosen.
It's always hard picking a favorite. It's
yes.
Like picking a favorite child.
It's not going to be the time I pooed myself 20 minutes away from my house and had to walk home with a turd the size of a battered jumbo sausage in my pants.
Wow, lovely imagery.
Vivid. Vivid. It's not going to be that. Nor will it be my 30th birthday when I spent an hour washing myself in a cubicle toilet after a serious disagreement with Perry Cider.
Ooh, what is this about booze making people shit themselves?
I think it's a cider thing. I remember someone once telling me they saw a documentary about some pub full of these old guys where all they drank was cider.
Oh.
And they'd all just accepted that at some point, 10 pints of cider in, they were just kind of sharp themselves.
Well, that makes sense because I hate cider, so I never drink it.
It's too sweet.
It's either sweet or like acidic. It tastes like the acid that comes up when you're like, you know.
Yeah.
It's like vomiting kind of taste.
Yeah.
I love a Perry though. A pear cider. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah, they are good.
But hard to find.
No. The chosen story is one I'm actually proud of.
Okay.
My bowels, as you can probably guess, can be a little unpredictable. Sure thing, turd pants. I can guess that.
Turd pants.
Turd pants. But as long as my routine and meals are regimented, they are mostly play ball. That's very funny. A few years ago, I had to attend an early morning meeting in Swindon. That's what I call it too. I had to attend an early morning meeting in Swindon, an hour and a half drive away from where I live. It meant leaving home before breakfast and before my morning deposit.
Ooh.
I took a hot cross bun for the journey, and at precisely 8 a.m., my bum clock started ticking just as I was entering the town centre. I parked up, rushed down the 6 flights of stairs from the long-stay car park, and started searching desperately for a public toilet, which of course I couldn't find. I got to the stage where walking became impossible.
Oh, boy.
Wow. I had to stand still, clenching, and concentrate on my breathing.
I think I've been there, especially as a kid, all the time.
Really?
I hated going to the toilet when I was a kid. Because I just love playing so much. If a boo came, I was like, no, I'm not going to stop playing. No, it will not win. I just stand there just keeping it, just sweating, just popping veins. And then once it, I felt that I had defeated it, yeah, that's right. And I continue playing, and then I just eventually poo my pants.
Yeah. It's just because you were like, any distraction from this fun is unacceptable.
Yeah, pretty much.
And cannot be embraced.
Yeah, I felt like pooing was a sort of infringement from the adult world. This reminder. This
only grown-ups shit.
This rude reminder that life isn't all about fun and that you have responsibilities.
And then at some point, this simply will have to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything obligatory really rankles when you're a kid.
I mean, it's like Peter Pan, you know, refusing to grow up, but just holding in this.
I'd love it if the legend of Peter Pan was the boy who never shat. And he was this hideous, bloated, stinky. Oh, Wendy, come to Neverland. You never have to do shit. anyway, concentrating on their breathing, they were saying. After previous catastrophes, I decided I'd rather mess myself in my car than in public. So they've got a preference now.
Right, okay.
So I mean, turned
around. You're in a bad place when you've already, this is already something you've decided.
You've got a policy.
Yeah.
So I turned around and started the long climb back up to where I'd parked. Six flights of stairs.
Wow, what a decision to come to.
One step at a time, not daring to bend my knees, lest it part my cheeks.
Wow.
And encourage the unwanted evacuation. So they're having to walk up the stairs with straight legs.
Like a mannequin.
Yeah, like someone in two leg casts.
Like a little Lego woman.
Incredibly, I made it back. My head started to fill with hope and possibility. If I could devise a makeshift toilet in my car, the day could be saved. But nothing. No carrier bags. No Tupperware. Oh, fresh poops. Just as I was about to admit defeat, I remembered that I'd put my hot cross bun in a sandwich bag, which I finally found under the passenger seat. It was tiny, but it could work.
Lovely little Chekhov's bun there, I have to say.
Oh, Philip.
Thank you.
Chekhov's bun.
It's not all pee and poo.
Listeners, this is free.
Chekhov's bun, baby.
Yeah.
Really good. Really good structure work there. Is this still B? Mm. This is B, yeah. Really lovely.
No, this is Ellie. No. B was just saying a nice thing.
Okay, this is Ellie. Sorry. Oh, this is Smelly Ellie, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, great work there with the Chekhov's bun, Ellie.
So, the sandwich bag was tiny, but it could work. I climbed into the back seat of my car, undressed fully below the waist to minimize the chance of smearing shit on the only clothes I had with me, and squatted, forming a seal between my ass and the rim of the flimsy bag with my hands. It was the most satisfying poo of my life.
Wow.
It almost filled the bag.
I was about to say, like, how many mils is this thing?
It almost filled the bag, but I managed to tie it up and then wiped myself with a chamois leather.
What is that?
Like the little wipes for leather in your car, chamois. I managed to wipe myself with a chamois leather, which I would highly recommend, and got dressed. I walked back into town trying to disguise the slippery poo slug I was carrying until I found a bin and made it to my meeting on time.
Oh, wow.
On returning to my car that afternoon, I discovered that the guy I'd sat next to all day had parked next to me. If he'd arrived only minutes earlier, he'd have been greeted by his half-naked work colleague shitting in the back seat of their car. But on that day, the bum bum gods were smiling on me. Keep up the good work, Ellie.
Great story, Ellie.
My word.
Really, really great. I wonder what that does to your meeting confidence.
Yeah, do you walk in like...
because either you come in really ashamed or on top of the fucking world.
You have gotten away with... You come in and you're so... And like, if they found out later, it would be like when someone finds out that you'd just successfully murdered someone. Like, yeah, he came in and normally they're quite shy, but they were...
She walks away like Kaiser Soze. Like, her limp goes away because she shat herself.
Someone drops a mug with poo written on it and smashes on the floor. Sure. Pooing into a little bag that you have to hold around your bum hole. That's how I remember reading about if you're like an SAS sniper team.
Mm.
Or any sniper team in like deep in enemy territory or whatever, you're hidden in the woods. One of you has to keep watching the target through the sniper rifle while the other person holds the bag and you go for a shit.
Really?
Yeah, because they don't even leave shits behind.
Really? And they take it with them?
Yeah, they have to put it in their bag.
Wow.
And carry the poop all the way home.
Incredible.
So there's literally no sign that they were ever there.
Oh, hold your nose, boys. The snipers are coming.
Yeah, exactly. Let's hope that doesn't burst in your bag.
That's why they have to be so far away from everyone. That's why they have to keep... You stay over there. Put a telescope on your gun.
That's why it's accuracy on the other end as well. One shot. If you miss, you're in the shit. Matilda gets in touch.
Matilda, Matilda.
And she boasts that she has been enjoying the podcast since day one.
Wow.
Which is very nice. Thank you very much. And it says some other nice things. Thank you, thank you. She says, in her daily life, the one that pleases her mother, she is a boring project manager. In her sultry nightlife, she is a writer.
Oh.
And as a writer, you occasionally get invited to events, readings, and other happenings.
That's very cool.
I wish I got invited to a happening.
Yes. Everywhere I go. Whenever I turn up somewhere, it ceases to happen.
Yeah, everyone stops.
Yeah. It's like mannequins.
She basically, she had the good fortune to be invited to a storytelling event that had some improvisers and some stand-uppers. But now this is a confession. She says, now I'm many things, but I'm not funny. Still, my pride got the best of me. I could not bear the thought of standing up in a room full of strangers and just reading some depressing poetry about death or whatever, only to be followed by some brilliant improv sketch that had the entire room roiling with laughter. So I did something I'm not proud of. I stole your okay, thank you.
Oh.
I think she just means... She attached the story. I won't read it, Matilda, because I did read it, but we don't have time necessarily. But I think she just means she took the idea of someone saying, okay, thank you.
All right, well, that's fine.
That's fine. But she says, I regret nothing. Okay, thank you. Provided me with 2/3 of the glorious laughs I got that night. It was glorious. I'm a changed woman. I'm a queen. I can see why you do this. It is addictive.
It is addictive, man.
Anyway, I'm short of material. Please give me more catchphrases. Okay, thank you.
But I mean, I think it's very impressive for you to just take the phrase, okay, thank you, and spin it out into
something and use it. That's the first step of being funny from your own dome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what the bit was now. I'd like to know what the story was.
I can forward you the story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she attached it.
Okay.
Oh, she attached it. Let's see.
That's good, though. Well done on your first gig. Your first gig, your first stand-up gig. Now you're trapped. You're trapped forever. You're sick in the head. Until you're dead. After your first good gig.
You're sick in the head because you got some laughs. It's better than heroin or even spaffs. It's the funnest thing to do apart from poo.
Apart from pooing your pants.
Mm-hmm.
It's the funnest thing to do.
Apart from that.
Apart from pooing your pants.
Yeah.
Okay.
One second.
I'm sleepy. Always sleepy.
Ooh. Some of you will remember that we had talked about the murky art world.
The murky art world.
And like how you value art.
Oh, yes. And that it's all sort of non...
If it was a scam or not.
Yes.
So, Poppy gets in touch.
Poppy.
I think Poppy's been in touch before. And the subject of the email is the art world and its dirty boys and girls.
Oh, the church of little dirty boys and dirty little girls. Thank you, Poppy.
Evening, pod butlers.
Nice. We do serve you piping hot shits on a silver plate.
I heard your plea for an expose on the murky dealings of the art world in the last episode,
yes, and please.
I felt that I could deliver. I worked in a famous auction house, which shall remain nameless, for many years as a classic car specialist.
Oh.
Very cool.
Very interesting.
But I had dealings with the art teams, too.
Sure. One must.
It was, and this is how I can tell that Poppy is a person of fine breeding. It was an hilarious and fascinating place.
Very good.
To work, because it is filled with people who have made their own super niche obsession with their actual job. We had coin specialists, numismatists, modern feminist African art specialists, ancient instrument specialists, silver cutlery specialists, and everything in between. I worked with a guy who exclusively specialized in 18th century clocks, and he was the most captivating person ever.
Wow.
But dear Lord, are there some shady dealings in the auction world?
Yes.
You heard it here first, listener.
Tell him to us.
This is like journalism now.
Yeah, she's a hot scoop.
It isn't usually the artists themselves who push the prices of their work up, but shitty gallery owners who recognize early talent, buy up pieces way too cheaply from the young and naive emerging artists, and then flog them on at public auction or in their own shop at a hugely inflated price.
And people just accept that. That's what I don't understand. People just accept that that's what's that worth.
I think
that's what that is worth now.
I think in people's imagination, they can't imagine the idea of contacting the artist and saying, they would worry about offending them, saying, can I just pay you more than you'd get as a cut, but less than this price?
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, is probably quite a scary thing to do. But I have a friend who's a fairly well-known visual artist, and he was fine with the idea. I guess it was because we knew each other, but he was fine with the idea of me just like making him an offer on stuff that was still just in his shed. He's like, yeah, fine, whatever. So, yeah, maybe try and go straight to the source. It's all these middle people, Phil.
Middlemen skimming the cream off for them and their grubby little fat children to sup and slurp on the cream.
The wanky gallery owners tend to get together ahead of a big auction to work out who will, quote, bid high on each piece. In order
cutting up the pieces, slicing it, sharing it between them, the cream.
In order to very publicly establish the value of new pieces, and generally posit themselves as hype men for emerging artists. They then team up with, quote, art consultants, who are employed by loaded people to decorate their offices and homes, and splash these new works about about under the pretense they've just uncovered a hot new talent that will, quote, only go up in value. The artist may do well for a bit on the back of this fame and public recognition, but the consultants and gallery owners will very quickly declaim the artist as passé. And as soon as the artists start to ask for fair prices, the shitty buyers and consultants will move on to another unassuming newbie and exploit them too. It is so shitty and frustrating. The contemporary art market is a hellscape at the moment. Yeesh. Yeesh.
Yeah, we think we have a rough time.
Yeah, at least jokes, like, can't repackage them and
no, you can't, you
get
can't,
more
you
laughs.
Can't be bought and sold at a different price.
Most people in the auction world are just passionate people who love their chosen subject, but there are some utter dicks, too, who love exploiting people. If you feel this is unjust, I have a fun way for you and your listeners to take some lovely sort of revenge. Every auction house in London has open viewings a day before the auctions. They are free to view, and they always have a shitload of free champagne and canapes
in
the evenings.
Yes, they do. I have a friend who works at an auction house, and
anyone can pitch up.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that true?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Anyone.
Just check out the auction listings on the website and figure it out. Drink the free champagne and hemorrhage the vol-au-vent supply. It's the least you can do. My word.
It's fun stuff. Wander about. Splash some champagne on a Van Gogh.
Say it offended you and that's why you did it. And now you're the artist.
I went to a very sort of sexy sale opening on Valentine's Day. And we wore like little Eyes Wide Shut masks, and you got free champagne, and you just wander around this collection of like, they were like, I swear they're like Monets and stuff, completely unguarded, and you could just stand on, you could just go swill your champagne right next to it, and you look at the price and it's like £350,000.
Jesus.
And you just. Oh no, I've already lost a bet!
Yes!
Ah, no, I thought you went. Ah!
Victory is mine.
Oh no.
I can burp for 1,000 years.
Listener, this was a bet that we set up last week.
Well, it hasn't even taken a week.
But it hasn't taken a week because we recorded this on the same day.
It took an hour.
I've already lost the bet because I made a gross.
I will let you off that because it was in the vein of telling a story.
Okay. What, so the game's still afoot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's because like when you're doing it deliberately, it's I think less bad.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Like if I burped with malice aforethought.
Okay. What would be the technical term for them? What's happened?
Ooh.
It's like in tennis where you miss your first serve.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Yes.
I don't know what you call that.
The umpire is
holding
up a finger. I don't know what it is. And then Poppy says, keep chugging it. Scottish for wanking, she says.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Poppy.
Fair enough.
Sloppy Poppy.
Old Sloppy Poppy there. Trying to. That's gross. What a gross thing to say. Sloppy Poppy. Getting in touch with an expose, Philip.
Yeah, exciting stuff. If more listeners could please send in the dark secrets of their industries, we'd be much obliged.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
We have a lovely message from Martha.
Martha, Martha, what you after?
Nice. Hello, peanuts. She says.
Buzz,
I don't think we've had that.
Peanuts, yeah.
Peanuts. Definitely. I was late to the Bud Pod party. I think you were already celebrating the heady heights of 18 by the time I was first learning the Louis scale. Side note.
Got to practice your Louis scales, yeah. If I remember.
Yeah, Louis, 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 kind of thing. Side note, my son is called Louis, so I'm going to say his arrival on this planet was a full 10 on the Louis scale from me.
Yes, yes.
Side note, Kinabalu was the last gig I saw before Louis was born, and I laughed so hard I still wonder to this day if that's why he came out early.
Oh, that's nice, thank you. For the uninformed listener, Kinabalu is the name of my previous show to the one I'm currently doing.
Yes, and that's why they call Phil the gynecologist's nightmare.
Yes.
And the midwife's help.
There's an ad for my shows on the internet that says, gynecologists hate him. This one weird joke gave birth to a baby in minutes.
In minutes, gynecologists hate him.
It's really dangerous for the baby.
It's so unsafe and unregulated. They hate him.
They're not fully formed yet.
They're professional. He's not. Who do you side with? But now she's nearly caught up. Anyway, as another Martha, I can confirm that I can cook. I think this is from halfway through the Fringe.
Was there a Martha that could cook?
No, I remember we were saying the name Martha says to us, like, quite a sort of old-fashioned woman. She's strict, but she's nice.
It's also the name of both Superman and Batman's mothers.
Yes, which is the only reason they didn't kill each other in that absolutely dogshit film.
Terrible movie. Absolutely no sense.
So bad. As another Martha, I can confirm that I can cook, and on time is late in my book.
On time is late on my book, so she...
Like, Martha, remember, we were saying, I remember this now, Martha's like, on time is late. 5 minutes early is on time for Martha.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry, Martha, you know us better than we know ourselves.
And I said, Martha's don't have FOMO, but she said, you're wrong about FOMO. Martha's definitely have FOMO. Indeed, what else could it possibly be driving me to share this particular story other than wanting to join in with the buds? I think it will appeal because it has an awkward social interaction and quite a lot of shit.
Yep, that sounds like our...
Oh, poopy poops.
De rigueur for us.
Mm-hmm. About 10 years ago, I was traveling around the Balkans with a friend. Pretty cool.
That is very cool.
And while in Serbia, we frequented a restaurant that did not sit right in the old digestive tract. I'll be honest, when I'm imagining what people eat in Serbia, in a Serbian restaurant, I'm imagining a lot of lamb. A lot of meat.
A lot of meat and like...
Sausages and meatballs and lamb.
Very shiny cherry tomatoes for some reason.
Yes, yes. And a vegetable that you've heard of, but not for years.
And like a okra. Heart and a root vegetable that's cut into a sort of flower shape.
Yes, yeah. And just loads of mashed potato.
Also, doesn't frequented mean that she went more than once?
I think it must. Oh, anyway. Maybe she did. Anyway, the next morning was a lovely walk punctuated by a toilet stop at every possible opportunity. We were just alternating turning ourselves inside out as whatever evil had been planted the night before was expelled. My final stop was a lovely public facility near a castle at the top of a hill.
Lally.
After spending an embarrassing amount of time in the loo, I was done. A shadow of my former self. I washed my hands and got ready to leave. This is when I realized that a toilet attendant had been sitting there for the whole time.
Oh, waiting to clean it.
Well, no, like the attendants, like in nightclubs.
Oh, yeah.
Had been sitting there the entire time, subjected to noises and smells probably best left to a Farrelly Brothers film.
This is my authoritarian thought. Mm. Those jobs should be illegal.
Yes, I don't understand.
Attendance is the most. What, it's just so demeaning.
I don't understand how those jobs exist.
Yeah. Anyway, but that's a different matter.
So she realizes with horror this person, this lady, has been outside there the whole time. She was cutting up and eating watermelon on a little table. She was happily eating in the toilet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
She simply smiled and offered me a slice. What I wanted to do was take that fruit and hurl it into the Danube. But instead I took it and said, oh, thank you, bye. Which she may or may not have understood. I promptly dropped the poo melon as soon as I was out of sight. Most uncool cool thing, paying for things using your watch. I think that's fair.
Yes, that is very, very lame. And there's no way to do it that doesn't look like, look at me, I'm James Bond.
There's money in my timepiece.
There's money in my wrist. I have a wrist of gold.
Sorry, is it future o'clock already? I've been recommending Budpal to everyone I know. Thank you very much, Martha. Thank you for not being totally bin bags. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Must appreciate.
Spreading the word, Martha.
Spreading the poo.
Watermelon.
The most porous of fruits to bring into a bathroom.
The most stench vulnerable.
Oh, man.
Oh, my word.
I mean, I guess it must be fine. If this lady's all right.
Is she all right?
Maybe that's why she's in the toilet. She just needs shit all the time.
Yes, poo brain.
Yeah.
Maybe that's her fetish. She doesn't work there. She said, if only I had a toilet I could eat watermelon in. I have a scheme. I'll just sort of vaguely dress as a... Is there a uniform? There isn't really, is there?
For toilet attendants?
Black shirt and black trousers.
Yeah. God, it's such a dreadful... It's such a demeaning job to...
My only experience of them in London is just sort of Nigerian guys in... Black shirts and black trousers.
Yeah, offering you perfume with some really gross rhyme about how if you don't smell nice, you won't get any sex.
Yes, what is it? No. God, I used to know these. No Armani, no Punani.
That's one of them. Yeah.
What night school do they go to learn these poems? Or they pass down from generation to generation?
It's an oral tradition.
They're like shamans, really.
And then they hand you a napkin, and he's like, "Do I have to tip for a napkin?" I was gonna
dry my hands anyway.
I'm just gonna wipe them on my jeans.
Lucy gets in touch with a small confession, dear Fervelli. Regarding horribly Americanized wooing at comedy.
Yeah.
And in particular at the Fringe.
A scourge.
Lucy says, I was at the Fringe with my family, it'll be a while ago now, saw Phil's gig, which was awesome.
Oh, great.
And at one of the other shows we went to, she thinks it was Harriet Brain, who was amazing, but you can't be sure, because it all melts into one after a while.
It does.
I'm ashamed to say I made an inappropriate woo.
Unbelievable.
A confession. I did an American woo at something that had nothing to do with me.
That is a very American woo.
And the subject at which I wooed was dying during childbirth. I am not from there. I have never died during childbirth, but I apparently felt that deserved a woo. I'm sorry on behalf of all the terrible wooers, and I don't envy you. The Fringe seems intense and stressful. Jacking it always, Lucy.
Well, my child, you have sinned. Three rosemaries, three Hail Marys, and five okay thank yous.
Yes.
I think if you end up with Fringe Brain, though, I think an exception can be made.
Yes, I think that's fair, and to so quickly recognize that you did a bad woo.
Yeah, what's important is that you've demonstrated.
This is
repentance.
This podcast is in favor of poos, not woos.
Yes.
Make poos, not woos.
Wait, make poos, not woos. And if you drink booze, you'll make poos, turns out, apparently.
It turns out.
Too much booze ends up with poos.
Yeah, and there'll be no woos.
There's like a moment on the lips forever on the hips.
Yeah.
A lot of booze.
A lot of poos. John gets in touch.
John, where have you gone?
And says, chaps, Long-time pod bud, first-time emailer.
Welcome.
I have a confession to make. I have abandoned my surname.
A lot of confessions. You've abandoned
his surname. Yes, it's true. I no longer use it. Why, you ask? Why? I'll tell you for why. My surname is Dick.
Wow.
Dick. D-I-C-K, it's Dick. That's what he's written.
Right, like he's a detective.
Yeah. Now, I assume John Phil Dick. Has a...
Huh? John Dick.
John Dick.
I think that's a pretty sick name, actually.
Especially if you say John is short for Johnson. Johnson Dick. Now, I assume Phil has a similar bout of name shame, or perhaps not. Maybe his upbringing was more forgiving than 1980s Dundee.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean... Wang doesn't mean penis in Malaysia.
No, it's only here.
It's only here. And even then, it's quite like...
It's quite recent and Americanized.
Yeah, yeah. It's not all that prevalent, really.
Yeah.
Like, people only know it when they're told it, and they go, oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like, in America, it's immediately, but here it's like... Here it would have to be... Your name would have to be Phil Todger. Or something like that. Anyway... Fearing the register at school, he says.
Mm.
Fearing booking a taxi.
Mm.
Basically, fearing anyone finding out, ever. Dick. Good Lord. Dick. The indescribable tummy knot that comes with waiting to hear your own name spoken aloud. Awful business. Anyway.
Do you never get used to it, then?
No, apparently not. I mean, I never get used to the... Well, no, I guess I am used to it, but I'm never not expecting someone to fuck up my name.
Yeah. But that's different, though. This is... He's scared people are going to get it right.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I eventually ditched it and used my middle name as my nom de guerre.
Okay.
My brother has even gone as far as Deedpole.
Wow.
However, this change was not before I had one shining chance to own it. To own Dick. To be Dick. I used to work at a primary school. For context, once a small child...
Mr. Dick. I mean, they're not letting you get away with that, are they?
Good morning, Mr. Dick. Good morning, everyone.
Say, my name's... Dick, what profession shall I go into? One involving children.
Well, there's that South Park character called Mrs. Chokes on Dick. She says it's Polish or something. But then the joke is that the kids never realize the potential of it.
Right.
They just go, sure thing, Mrs. Chokes on Rocks. And everyone laughs. That's not my name. Mr. Dick. I used to work at a primary school, he says. For context, once a small child who really should have been taught how to wipe its ass by his parents called out to me, will you clean my bum? No, I replied. I'll go one better. I'll tell you how to do it yourself. Pleased with my ruse, I continued. Take the toilet paper, fold it over, and wipe. If it's brown, there's still work to do.
Lovely. Yes, you're not wrong.
If it's clean, you're all good to go. I sometimes wonder if I should have told him to stop if the paper turns red, but hindsight is 20/20. Anyway, to the point. I had a colleague whose surname was Cox. And one of the kids we had charge of was a young lad with a surname Wang.
Fantastic. We do get everywhere.
One memorable, glorious day, the child's father came to pick him up. I knew he was with Mr. Cox, and I had the walkie-talkie. Cue my greatest moment on crackly radio. Mr. Cox, this is Mr. Dick. I'm looking for Mr. Wang.
Fantastic.
He says, salad days indeed.
Salad days?
Yeah, like salad days is like glory days. Your old days.
Wow, I've never
days.
Heard of that. Salad days indeed.
In my salad days, in my youth. I have no
never
idea why it's called
that.
I've never
heard of that. Salad days. Wow. Because it's fresh, crispy. Well, that's a great story, John. The stars aligned there, and I hope you understand that it was worth it.
And they aligned obvious. In the shape of a dick. Really obscene. What do you think would happen sociologically if there was a cluster of stars that was just like a drawing of a schoolboy's dick and balls, but no one could ever, like, adults through history had to be like, that's the grain silo and two hills.
Or would it add to the male domination of the day of deities?
Would they point up and say, see?
Yeah.
We're in the sky.
Yeah, we should be in charge. There's no vagina constellation. There's no vagina major.
We're literally, our dick and balls is written in the stars.
Yeah. The big dicker.
The big dangler. Well, there's the big dangler. That must be north.
Thing is, I'm sure you can, like, the constellations are so
vague.
Tenuous. Anyway, I'm sure there's a dick and balls in there if you look for it.
If you want to see a dick and balls in the stars, you can.
Yeah.
My name is Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Thank you, Lin. That's really
so inspiring. I read a thing about how, because you know, like stars can die.
Mm.
I read a thing about how if you loads of the stars that used to make up more of the constellations have died or faded.
Yeah.
And some scientist did something which meant like this is how the sky would have looked to the ancient Greeks when they picked the names.
Oh.
And it does look a lot more like it.
Right.
The case of some of them.
Interesting. Has enough time passed really for any significant change in the firmament?
3,000 years, ancient Greece, 4,000 years ago.
But that's like nothing to a star, isn't it?
Well, unless it's about to die.
I know.
Stars die every day, Phil.
They do, and most of them are dead. Most of the ones we look at, well, not most, but a lot of the ones we look at now are dead and have been dead for ages.
Spooky. Another email, and it's a poopy one from Z.
We've got a B and a Z.
A B and a Z.
Wow.
Hey, buds, big fan of the podcast.
We're BZ.
BZ.
We're BZ with these emails.
We're so BZ with these.
EZs.
EMEs. I wanted to share something which happened to me which I couldn't help a few years back. I was working as an IT technician in a steelworks.
Wow. Perhaps in Port Talbot? That's the only steelworks I know of.
The most and least manly jobs.
Yes. Well, it's sort of new manly and old manly.
IT technician in the steelworks. Is this now we've got the least most manly thing and the most least manly thing? I was an IT technician, but it wasn't a steelworks. Ah.
Yeah. The most precious manly thing and the most manly precious thing.
Yes.
That's interesting. That's an interesting category.
I was on call out in the foundry, when I suddenly needed to poo. So I went to the nearest toilet, did the business, and to my horror, there was no toilet paper left. We've all been there.
Yeah.
In a panic, I looked around the room looking for more, and I couldn't find any. The next toilet was too far. I found a rubber glove in the cleaner's drawer.
Oh, no.
And I thought, this is happening.
Oh, gosh.
I cleaned as much as I could, and in a rush, I tried to flush it.
The glove?
Mm.
Oh, God, no.
Rinse the glove in the bowl.
Just throw it in the bin.
Yes. Hindsight.
You certainly can't flush it. Oh,
it blocked the toilet.
Yeah.
And
I'm not surprised.
I rushed away. That toilet was out of order until I left that job.
No.
And I couldn't help but feeling proud. Keep injecking Z.
I hate to see it in the modern game, Z.
You hate to see it in the modern game, but people will rubber glove their bumhole clean and then block a loo.
Oh, that's
in a steel foundry.
It makes me properly angry when a loo gets blocked.
I'm always fascinated to know how, because
by gloves.
Yes, but do you know what? I have a curious. My morality with it is, if you've blocked it with sheer poo alone, I take my hat off to you. But if you've done it with baby wipes and things that the little creepy sign says don't put in the toilet, then an umbrella or whatever, no respect at all.
But, I mean, I don't think you can block a toilet with just poo, because poo will break up, it disintegrates.
No, people have blocked it with poops.
Really?
Yeah. We remember, especially, you know, in like countries like Greece where you literally can't flush the toilet paper?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's because the pipes are too narrow for loo roll. We know people who do gargantuan dumps. They'll block it with one of those.
God, it's a horrible, terrible world out there, isn't it?
It is. James says, "Dear Pill and Fear, wants to know, Phil, what was the funky music in the prelude and postlude of your Edinburgh show?"
Ah!
They say, I tried to secretly Shazam it on the way out, but I ended up taking a photo of my thigh.
It is by a Vietnamese French music maker called Onra, Onra, and he's got a bunch of albums called Chino Series 1, 2, 3. Maybe I think there's three Chino Series 1, 2, and 3, and they're just albums of these sort of dubbed over old East Asian songs and stuff. They're really cool, and I find them the perfect appetizer to my hour of Asianness.
Fusion jokes.
And yeah, because I'm a fusion guy as well.
Yeah, another thing, James, any thoughts on doing a Bud Pod live?
Yes.
Break it to him, Phil. Break it to him.
I refuse to do a live podcast. I don't like live podcasts. And I'm opening it up to you guys. If you love a live podcast, I'm up for hearing the arguments for it. But if I'm a fan of a podcast and it gets to a live episode, I'm always at least a bit and usually quite disappointed. I find podcasts very intimate. I don't want to share them with other people.
In public?
Yeah, I don't like hearing that something funny has happened in the room that everyone can see that I can't.
Yes, that's true. If someone pulls a face.
It's an exclusive experience. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And so I have a no live podcast policy, which frustrates Pierre and might frustrate some others. But I have to stand by it. We all have to have our beliefs and our values and hold on to them. And I don't have many, but this is one.
Yes, Phil is very against the live pod listeners. So unless he has a Damascene conversion, if I don't know, is there a way they can convince you? Is there some challenge you could set them? Some Herculean 12 tasks of Wang Yu Li's?
Well, I mean, it would just have to be like by overwhelming public demand.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you gauge that, really.
Protests.
Yeah, protests outside. A Hong Kong-level protests outside my flat would probably sway me.
Yes, I think you're a man who listens to the people.
Yes. Unless those people are part of a live podcast recording, then I do not listen. I turn it off and I put on some music on Spotify.
Yeah. Ross gets in touch.
Ross the boss.
Ross is the guy who talked on Twitter about his daughter being indoctrinated into the bum bum life.
Oh, yes.
Dearest Pierre and Phil, I was recently strolling around my neighborhood here in Korea.
Cool.
Very cool. And I noticed a very interesting clothes shop called Buy Dong. So it's Buy, B-Y,
yeah,
and then D-Dong.
Love to see it in the modern game.
I'm gonna guess that's pronounced Dedong.
Sounds, yeah, I can't think of any Dedong. Dedong.
Buy,
yeah.
Dedong. He says Dedong just means poo.
What?
So it would be like calling a shop by Jobby or by Poo. Perhaps this is a future Bud Pod merchandise shop. Poo is regarded as lucky and cute here.
Wow. So fascinating how the different roles Poo has across cultures. And it's fascinating. I think it speaks very much to the human condition itself. And it's about what brings us together and also what separates us. Poo.
Very good.
I'm going on a journey.
Hi, I'm Phil. Come with me on my pooey journey. Poo is regarded as lucky and cute here, so dreaming of poo is supposed to bring good luck. One of the most popular Korean kiddie books is also about a small dog poo trying to find its place in the world.
Wow. This must be where the poo emoji is from, right?
Yes.
A smiling cutie poo.
How does poo feel in... Oh my God, he's attached a picture of the book, listeners. A picture of the book cover. Yeah, and there's like a steaming dog shit coming out of a cartoon dog's ass.
Wow. Yeah, they're not messing about.
I'm going to put that on Instagram on the day.
Please, it's actually quite beautiful.
It's quite romantic, the steaming turd.
The style is actually quite Frank Miller.
It is a bit. Very nostalgic dog shit there. And here's a picture of the shop by Dedong. Yeah, I'll put that up as well. Oh, my word. How strange. By poo. By poo.
Feces.
How very odd. He says, I was upset to hear about your mediocre bibimbap experience.
Oh, it was very bad. It's bibimbap. I said it before.
Yeah.
I've had good bibimbap, I think. So, you know, it's I'll be okay.
He says, it's pretty much the Korean equivalent of a petrol station sandwich, in my opinion. A bad one, I think. Since you hip cats live in London, I recommend you go visit Jinjo Gai in New Malden.
New Malden's far, but that's where all the Koreans are, so that'll be where the Koreans...
He says it's a great Korean barbecue place.
Yeah,
field
yeah,
trip?
Yeah.
Question mark?
Yeah, could do. What's the name? I'll write it down.
Jingo Gai.
How are we spelling this?
J-I-N?
Give me a second. This is terribly tedious.
Yes, it is.
J-I-N?
J-I-N, go as in go away.
Uh-huh.
And Gai as in G-A-E. That was the correspondent special, and we're all caught up. Thank you very much to everyone who wrote in who we couldn't get to, with all your lovely compliments and bits of trivia and stories about seeing us at gigs and things like that. And thank you, a bunch of people, Phil, were emailing in saying they'd seen us at the Fringe and they'd really enjoyed it.
Oh, great!
One or both of us. Thank you very much for coming, guys. We really do appreciate having friendly pod buds in the crowd, and very nice it was too. And that's it. This is 29, the correspondent special. We will see you next week.
Big one, 30-30.
For the 30th.
30th.
Oh, my word. Big one. We should try and do something really nice for ourselves for the 30th.
Maybe a dinner party.
Oh, a dinner party.
A dinner party. Maybe get a couple of guests.
Yes. Anyway, we can figure out when and how to do that later. Anyway, thank you very much, listeners. Keep jacking it.
Keep jacking it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.